What's up, everyone? It's Lex and Stacy, another threesome podcast for you. Hello, dear.
Yet another and another and another.
Yes. Yeah, we may have two lost episodes. I think I may have figured out what happened, and hopefully we don't. So if we do, I'll just change the numbers on them, and they can roll.
But, right.
Yeah, I went to download them, and they weren't on the card. I'm like, oh, no.
Well, we're trying to make an effort to be more timely, and we recorded them last week.
Yeah.
I even posted on both Facebook and Twitter that if they hadn't been posted in the next few days, people had permission to crawl up both of our asses.
Oh, okay.
And making that effort, you know, and then you text me today and say, they're gone.
Yep. Well, listen, we've been out of sorts here the last month or so, but our heart's in the right place, so let's just go ahead and get going here, and I'll be on the case with those. I'll let you know what's happening.
If that is the case, we might have four coming at you soon.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, there is an upside that if I just fucked up a little bit, this could be good.
Yes.
All right, so you and I turn each other onto TV shows. I have found a new love of a great TV show. Yes. Have you seen on Amazon The Man in the High Castle?
No.
Oh my God, it's so fucking good.
Good in a drama justified kind of way, or good in a funny, weird, quirky way?
Oh no, it's drama. It's heavy duty. The premise of it is that the Nazis and the Japanese won World War II.
Oh.
And the United States is split into two. The East is Nazi run, and the West, the Pacific part, is Japanese run. And it's kind of cool because it's done in like the early 1960s. So there's starting to be young people who are comfortable with this, you know, because the war's been done for 25 years at this point, you know.
It's all they know.
It's all they know, really. You know how quick that happens. You know, all I got to do is play a mid-90s song for Samantha, and she'll go like, wow, that was before I was born. I'm like, wow, it wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Honestly, the 90s were only 10 years ago.
Yeah, it seems like it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And I played her Silverchair, and she's like, oh, that's badass. And I'm like, yeah. And I said,
oh, yeah. God. I remember feeling, hey, here's a new one.
Yeah.
I've said those words.
Yeah. Yeah. God, yeah. Then again, I'm a little older than you, so I got to say, here's a new one from Wall of Voodoo.
Okay, you got me there.
Yeah. About got everybody there. All right, so So it's very cool. Of course, they're both still tyrannical dicks, you know, and people...
There's a band name right there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hello, Detroit.
Yeah.
We're Tyrannus Dick.
Or maybe tyrannical nice guys or whatever, you know. usually the assumption of dickheads there with, you know. But it's always fun to turn it around. Tyrannical sweeties. Yeah.
Nuns.
Yeah. Tyrannical nuns. Tyrannical babies.
Yeah. Years ago, when I went to Michigan State in East Lansing, Michigan, there was, you know, all the student bands and all that stuff. And there was, I never got to see her/him play, but it was a... guy who dressed up as a nun, you know, this guy would dress up as a nun, and he had his guitar, and he performed, like at bars and stuff, and the name of his act was Sister Ethel and Her Fingers of Mercy.
Oh, that's awesome. There's a show coming out on HBO called Vinyl that's being produced by Mick Jagger and some other dude.
Oh.
And it's about a guy starting a record company in the 70s, you know, and he's like,
nice.
He's like, looking for a new sound. And you know, there's one part of the trailer where the chick goes, he goes, what was the band like? She goes, I don't know. She goes, but I just loved watching the singer. And he goes, that's what I'm fucking talking about right there. You know, and I was like, yes.
Yeah. So you remember.
Some of my favorite bands sucked. You know, I remember interviewing Johnny Lydon, you know, of those Sex Pistols, you know, and him going, we were abysmal and horrible. Terry and I were like, yeah, you were. You were fucking awful, but I couldn't get enough of it. I still listen to it just to get pissed off. He goes, well, that's really what it was all about. I just don't know what we were pissed off about, really. We were just fucking kids.
Did you ever see the Sex Pistols?
Yes.
Good. I got to see the Ramones.
Oh, see, I didn't. I never got to see the Ramones.
In Detroit. Where Ooh. It should be, you know.
Ooh. How streety and nasty and dirty.
I know.
I saw the Sex Pistols at Gilly's. Nice. Nothing like Johnny Rotten coming out and saying, how you doing, all you cowboy faggots, to start the night off. They played behind chicken wire for a reason. Some of the people showing up didn't realize it was Sex Pistols night. But we drove, I think, 1,700 miles round trip.
Wow.
In a weekend. So me and my two friends could go see the Sex Pistols, and we had a fucking blast being scared out of our fucking minds.
Nice. Because there is that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you think, okay, I'm kind of out of my element here.
I was definitely out of my element. I was a surfer-looking dude. You know, and I had mohawks and, you know, tattoos and piercings before piercings were cool. And, you know, I mean, all kinds of makeup and shit. And, you know, we were just, you know, one of a few set of normal dudes there. You know, and then there were the back-ass urban cowboy country fucks, you know. It was just a weird fucking night. Yeah, it was one of those ones that's like, I can't wait for this to be over. And then you're driving home in the car going, I'm so sad that's over.
See, I had that experience. Again, it was in Detroit, but I saw, it was Carcass and Napalm Death.
Oh, shit.
That was fun. Yeah. St. Andrews Hall.
So anyway, look for that show, because it's going to be pretty cool.
What's it called?
Vinyl.
Vinyl, okay.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, back to the show I was telling you about. So it's kind of cool, because interwoven in this plan for people that have gotten to see how, apparently there's a film out, how World War II really turned out, like in real life, you know, all the footage and everything, you know, so you're left with the secret of how it got to be the way it is. But apparently the war did get won like it was supposed to, and then something else happened, you know, in as far as this story goes. But there's all this footage out there that, you know, the Germans and Japanese are trying to suppress and get a hold of, because it's giving people ideas. You know, and so there's that whole underlying thing. But there's also the relationship between the Japanese and the Nazis, and how it's becoming untrusting.
What? You mean someone doesn't trust a Nazi?
Well, you know, they were the winners back then. So, you know, it's like everybody loves a winner, Stacey.
Nazi winners.
Yeah. And, you know, the prince from Japan comes to the West Coast, and he's in a car talking to his wife, and he goes, you know, he's basically saying, this is all bullshit, you know, they're leaving us in the dust, they're building fucking rocket ships and SST transports, and we're, you know, got fucking cruise liners and shit, you know, this is going to a place, you know, so you're like, wow, that's true. They were like scientifically brilliant, the Germans were, And as we found out later on, the Japanese became technically brilliant, you know, and it's just cool, you know, it's just a cool fucking story.
There is a movie, I can't think of the name of it right now, it's fairly recent, and it's so stupid, but there's the moon, and apparently during like World War II, some Nazis escaped, and they made their way to the dark side of the moon, and they have been there, and there's this like huge giant swastika-shaped base like on the other side of the moon that we can't see, and that's where the Nazis have been growing and plotting their revenge to take over the world.
Oh my
it's just
God.
So stupid. And so these huge giant blimps from space, when they finally launch their attack on Earth,
holy
they're
shit.
Doing it in these space blimps, and we send a ship up and it's the George W. Bush. it's really stupid, but I can't think of the name of it right now.
Oh my
but I
God.
Think you'd enjoy it.
So it's satirical.
Oh yes.
Okay. I thought you were like really serious, like, oh my God, who came up with that movie?
No, I mean it is a movie, but it's, you know, not meant to be serious.
Yeah. But but if you get a chance, this is cool. It really is.
Okay.
So if you like shit like that, you know, like change of history stuff and
yes.
You know. The beginning of the movie just pisses you off. You see all these planes crashing into Mount Rushmore and, you know, paratroopers going down and our planes crashing. It's like, well, I don't like that. That's fucked up.
But, you know, can I tell you, when we were kids, we went on a family vacation out west, and we made the mistake, not knowing, of course, my mom took us to see the Charlie Horse Monument first, mm-hmm. which isn't done, but you get enough of an idea of how just flipping huge it is.
Yeah.
It's ginormous. And we're like, wow, that's going to be big. That's cool. You know, thanks for showing us that. And then we went and saw Mount Rushmore, and it is literally like the size of your pinky.
Yeah.
It was so disappointingly small. It was like, eh. Don't really care. I don't think we even stopped. We just drove by and went, oh, there's Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I went to Sturgis and drove up and saw Mount Rushmore. I thought it was pretty cool, you know, just to go there. But I also went to Bear Country, and that was amazing.
What was that?
You just drive through this place, and there's all these fucking big-ass bears that just come right up to your car and shit.
Oh.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Black bears or the big ones, like the Kodiak grizzlies?
Everything. Yeah, they got all kinds of shit in there. Yeah, and it's, you know, there's all kinds of signs. It's like, leave your windows up, don't do this, don't do that. But, man, they come. There's one that, like, walked right by the car, literally, like rubbed itself, you know, got himself a scratch on my front bumper.
Do you remember the movie Grizzly?
Yep.
That would have been like the 70s. That's why you don't get near bears.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that it was close enough for me. I mean, he looked like he was pretty old and gray, and, you know, his pistivity was over, but his, you know, still.
That's why he looks at humans and goes, they're slow and easy.
Yeah, exactly.
An old bear like me could get one of them.
Uh-huh. And, but it was cool. I had a good time. That was my favorite part of going to Sturgis. Not the topless, ugly, you know, chicks in their 50s or.
Where's Katie Seagal when you need him? Need her.
See, I'd fuck Katie Seagal's brains out.
I know you would.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like one of those odd women that, like, seem to get better with age.
Yeah.
Her and Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, just the whole attitude, it's like, oh, you just need it. You need a fucking little biker bitch. Yeah. Be fun getting her riled up. You get pussy from her anytime just by saying one line. I know you want to fuck your son.
Nice.
She's a little overprotective in that show. You know?
I haven't watched. I've watched like the first season and a half, I think.
Like her husband's laying there beaten to death. She runs right past him. Jax!
But it's Charlie Hunan. Don't you blame her?
Hunan.
Hunan, 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 Hunan. Yeah. That guy that wasn't Christian Grey.
Yeah. He wouldn't have fit for Christian Grey. He's too...
No, I agree.
He's too macho. Christian Grey is the Metro.
Yes.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Sick fuck Metro, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. This is what you need, Stacey.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, the guy you'd make fun of all the time.
He'd show me.
He wouldn't even want to fuck you anymore. It's like, you're scaring me. That's not the way this goes. Yeah, it's like most of the chicks I've been with be like, hey, get the fuck out of here with that thing before I beat it.
Are you talking about his giant penis?
No, his little whip or his, all his dark shit he has in his sex room. First off, who do you hire to build that room for you? It's like, yeah, listen, here's what I want done. It's like, yeah, okay.
There are, I'm sure, builders to the stars.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like John Wick, that whole community in that hotel, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. I imagine that there is someone out there who builds that stuff and has completes, you know, they don't say anything.
John Wick's amazing.
Discretion.
It's amazing.
Oh, my God, it is.
Lisa won't watch it because of the dog getting it, which, you know, she's a total animal activist bitch, you know, so it's like, I can't watch that. I just can't. I'm like, it's just a scene of a movie. Just close your eyes for a second. I'll tell you when it's happening. Oh, whoops.
Whoops.
<Fuck. laughs>
It's not so much seeing it, though. It's hearing it.
Yeah.
It cries. It's not for the faint of puppy-hearted.
I love the scene at the gas station, though, where the guy's talking to him in Russian or whatever, and he says, it's not for sale, bitch.
No, it's when they call the Russian and say, you know, your son stole a car. He stole John Wick's car. And that big, you know he's just like the badass, like, Russian mob guy who runs all of Russia.
Uh-huh.
And there's just silence on the other end of the phone.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
He stole John Wick's car and killed his dog.
Yeah. That's when you just call him up and go, can you just beat him within an inch of his life? Can you just do that?
Well, we've talked about it before. That whole scene where he goes into that club.
Yeah.
And there's like, you know what, like 110 henchmen.
Yeah.
And he's just picking them off. At what point do you, as a henchman, as you look at the bloodied bodies of all of your coworkers, say, I'm not stepping out from behind the wall? You know, when do you do that?
Yeah, but if you live, they kill you. So it's like... You know, you just hope you take a bullet to the shoulder and live or something. It's all shit you have to think about when you're a bad guy.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I've always wanted to do a scene in a movie as a bad guy. It's kind of a psychotic bad guy. You know, like, you know, just sitting behind a desk in some warehouse somewhere and I got some loser across the desk from me and it's like, yeah, listen, you lied to me. You know what's going to happen. It's, well, listen, I like to think I'm a progressive, so I'm going to give you, you know, the ball peen hammers and the axes and the, you know, lighting on fire and all that stuff. It's, you know, starting to bore me, you know, and up until now, you've been a pretty good business associate. So, what do you say you try one of these new lethal injections we have? I hear they're quite nice. At least that's what the doctors say. Of course, we don't have any data from the people taking it, but it's something we're going to go ahead and do for you.
It's like, see,
you,
I would be
you fucking psychopath. It's like, oh, see, why'd you have to go do that for?
And you're just sitting back tapping your fingers together.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to take my very nice offer off the table of the lethal injection and go back old school on you. I've always wanted to do a scene of a guy like that. That'd be so much fun.
See, I would love to go old school, but then add like a little painful twist to it. You know, like the cigar snipper that you use to take a finger off.
Yeah.
Dip that like in cinnamon oil or something.
Yeah.
So that as you're snipping the finger, then they also, you know, their open, bloody, stumpy wound has some sort of burning substance that's just going inside it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
You're hired.
I think you and I could do some damage.
Oh, God. You're going down, you psycho. There's 20 people outside, you know, ready to take this place down. Stacy, kill them.
I turn into what's-her-face River at the end of the Firefly, the movie. What was it? Serenity.
Yeah.
When she, like, steps through the blast doors with her swords and they close and she's there with like all the reavers and stuff and starts doing her little dance. Yeah. Oh
yeah. Or you're sitting there on your laptop and he's like, what are you doing? It's like playing with my new drone. There's not 20 people outside anymore.
And it's stealthy. It's a stealthy drone. It's a ninja drone.
That's right. And outside you hear this blah 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 blah.
You see blood coming in under the door.
And then the camera shot over the laptop of the guy with this, like, smile on his face. Like, yeah. Like, I think I have an erection. I just killed 20 people.
That was better than stabbing an infant with a steak knife.
Much better.
Woo!
Neither one of them saw it coming, so I was happy.
Not a lot of sport in babies.
No. No, not my style. Killing babies isn't my style. You do it, Stacy.
Yes.
You seem to get some sort of perverse enjoyment out of children going away.
Yes. Yes.
You're in your 40s without babies. There's a reason for that. Everything else about you is splendid. I imagine you're a cartoon.
No, I fear they're spitting up dust.
Nah.
Yeah.
Did you ever want kids?
I always kind of went back and forth.
Yeah.
Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't.
I think in this day and age, most women do. I think most women could live with not doing that if they had a great career and it just went that way for them.
I will admit the thing that bothers me, and I know that this is totally the wrong reason to have kids, but I think, you know, I will probably outlive my husband by at least 20 years. At least that's how I'm going to do it. And, you know, he's going to be gone, and I'm not going to have anyone to, like, make sure that I get into a decent nursing home.
Yeah, it can't be me. I'm older than you, too.
I know.
I don't think I have anybody that's going to do it for me, you know? So.
Well, you've got Sam. She'll grow up, and she will, you know, not take care of you, but she will watch over you, and she will be your... advocate.
She will be my downfall because I've kind of raised her not to be slaves to family.
But you've also raised her to be responsible.
Yes. You know, and hopefully she'll love me enough for teaching her such brilliant things to want to do for me, but it's not a requirement. I'm not...
I don't think, though, that taking care of or at least watching out for and paying attention to your elderly parents is being a slave to them.
Yeah, kind of is.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think your parents are supposed to live that long. But now they do.
Well, you know, back in the old days when people only lived to be 30.
Yeah. Better known as the good old days.
Sam would have had five kids by now.
Uh-huh. Yep, she would have been a Little House on the Prairie girl. I still don't think she'd have kids.
Really?
That's a strong-willed one there. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, she has her plan in place.
Well, I think, though, if she were Pioneer Girl, her plan would be a lot different.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the way somebody is the way somebody is. You know, I think in any situation, you could pick the three leaders, the middle of the pack that could lead, capably lead, but, you know, willfully follows before that happens, and then you have your just total losers. You know, they're right. just, you know,
hey,
they could be born 100 years ago or now, and they just are needy and wanty and drama-like and just a total fucking pain in the ass.
Correct.
Which is why, you know, if you're in my camp, there's no room for that. Kill them.
It turns into Lord of the Flies.
Yes. Yeah, I just, you know, like I watch, you know, Walking Dead. You know, it's like some of those people I said would have off by now.
Well, I think, yeah. I think that's kind of like part of the show is making you feel that way.
Yeah.
And realizing that, you know, if this were to happen, because that's what I love about the show, I think it's a very realistic portrayal. I mean, obviously, zombie apocalypse isn't going to happen, but if you were put in a situation where you're basically starting over again in the ruins of old civilization, you might have to depend on that douchebag that you can't fucking stand to stay alive.
That preacher guy, I would have offed him before we left Georgia.
The little girl who wanted to be friends with zombies, she would have had a bullet in her head the first night.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The moment I found out she was feeding them rats, I would be taking her for a long walk into the dark woods.
Yeah. Either that or it's like you're out on the porch alone with her, you know. And it's like, hey, there's, you know, some of your friends. Why don't you go talk to them?
Toodles.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
See you in a few, or maybe not. I don't know. Yeah, it's the dynamics on that show are so good. They really are. You know, this whole last season where they show up.
I haven't seen.
Oh, that's
the
right.
Most. I think I made it up. The last I saw on Netflix was when they were all trapped at the end in that train car.
Oh, God, you're way behind.
Yeah, so don't tell me anything.
Okay.
Please, because I love that show, even though I hate zombies.
That's a great fucking show. It really is. And I'll just tell you this, greatness is to come. Some really amazing episodes in your future.
Have you seen iZombie?
Where did I hear about that?
I don't know. I saw it on Netflix. It's like one season. So I was like, oh, what the hell? And, you know, it is so incredibly stupid, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
I've watched it.
That's all that matters.
Their twist on zombies is that, you know, you can become a zombie, but you don't, like, become all, like, dead and rotty and stuff.
Yeah.
So you can actually, like, maintain this life and look normal and everything. You just have to eat brains. So this chick who's the star of the show gives up her medical career to become a medical examiner so she can eat the brains of the people that come into the Emmy's office. But the other twist is when you eat someone's brain for a while, you retain some of their memories. And so as a result of this and all of these crime victims coming in, she becomes a brain-eating, crime-solving zombie medical examiner.
How weird.
Yes.
But there was that one movie that was out where the zombie guy was kind of normal. I can't remember the name of it.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
No.
Have you seen that one?
It came, no, it came out. It came out in the last couple of years, but the guy, and some of the other zombies were like able to come back and process and think a little bit, you know, only if they had like interaction.
Was it the most recent Romero movie?
It had,
was it the black guy with who started? You watched him starting to learn how to use tools and stuff.
I want to say Moonlight was in the title or Moon something, but I know. Let me look up great zombie movies here and see if it comes up, because it actually was really good. I mean, it was kind of sarcastic and funny. You know, some of the stuff the zombies had to say and stuff like that.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil is a little gem, by the way, if you haven't seen that one either.
I have not seen that one.
That is, it is a total switcheroo. These two vile rednecks are heading out into the woods for the weekend to their, like, crappy little lodge that they have. And meanwhile, there's, like, the college kids, you know, away for the weekend kind of thing. And ultimately, what happens is the kids think the rednecks, as you would in most movies, are the bad guys and are doing terrible things. But as a result of this, these very innocent men are sitting there watching college kids, like, basically jump into wood shredders and stuff, wood chippers.
Uh-huh.
And so they're like, you know, these kids keep coming up and just like committing suicide in front of us. You have to see it. It's just wonderful.
I love that shit.
It's a great little switcheroo. It's just it was refreshing, because with everything being remade and you know the plot to everything, this was a little different. Someone somewhere was creative.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot you can do with zombies. You can humanize them. You can make them total fucking staunch killers. You can make them run fast. You can make them run slow.
Don't make them fast. Please, yeah. Not fast zombies.
Like super strong zombies would be badass.
Mm. See, I like in Walking Dead how as they get older, they get more rotten.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're ooky.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the there was one she couldn't kill. It was so gooey. And it had, like, all these holes in the head and everything. There wasn't even anywhere to stab it. You know, it was brilliant. And it's like, da, 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 da.
I know. At what point do they stop trying to get you? Are they, like, little amoebas that are, like, you know, are there little single-cell skin things coming to get you?
Well, apparently, if you're like smart, you can kind of walk amongst them if you like do it right.
If you smell like them, it was that chick had the two her two brothers that she ripped their mouths off.
Mm-hmm.
And had them chained. She went walking her zombies.
How badass was she?
If something has happened to her, please don't say.
Oh no, she's fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a good TV episode there.
Yes.
We'll leave it at that, you know. TV episode and pretty much how Stacy and Lex would take over the evil world if they felt like it. We could do some bad shit to people, I'm pretty sure of it.
We could.
With you know, a pretty good sociopath, you know, like, ability, too. All right, so, well, I don't know. Sometimes you break down, but I won't.
I'm the kinder, gentler sociopath.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm the one with feelings.
But you're also, because of that, more fucking twisted than I am.
Because I harbor a lot more hate.
See, I would just be like, just kill them. And you'd be like, no. Kill his wife because he loves her.
And like, she's a bitch.
I'd be like, what do you want to put me through that for? Why am I killing extra people? Why am I going to find people to make you happy? Just kill the fucking guy, all right? Jesus.
And then we start arguing in front of them. Yeah. No, I want to kill her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I go, like, dude, what would piss you off more? For me to blow your head off or for us to kill your wife and have you be like, sorry? Right? You know? I know which one would make me more unhappy. But then again, I'm a sociopath. Apparently a much better one than she is. All right, so that wraps it up, man. Threesome podcast number 81, baby. Boom.
Yes.
And really 84, but I fucked up, and there's possibly two episodes sitting out there, and I'll just do that editing thing where I change the numbers on them, and nobody will be none the wiser. So, you know, you might find some stuff in there about Paris, but hey, it's a catastrophic, you know, catastrophic event, and it could be something you're still thinking about in 4 or 5 days. So there you go. You still haven't heard our takes on it, so there.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all that's important.
So that wraps it up. We will see you next time on the Threesome Podcast. Bye.
Bye-bye.